American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, February 11th, 2005. A mere, 3 days before that most infernal of holidays, Valentine's Day. And this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and the news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can read the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which is under www.livejournal.com /users/Sean_Kennedy. And if that doesn't work, well, just do a search for Sean_Kennedy. You should be able to find it. And you'll know it'll be time to turn this page when you hear me say, I made it home, back home from New York alive. I'm so happy to be back in sunny Canada, where, in fact, we have things like freedom and the right of free speech. I tried to be as diplomatic as I could when I was giving my speech down there in the Adirondacks. And I'm sure the people who were there knew that I was actually watching my P's and Q's. It's not that I'm selling out. No, nothing like that. It's more like I would like to stay free so I can keep broadcasting to you people. And I got some feedback here because of that. Hey, Sean, I was one of those people with the group of WOGs whose names have evaded you. That's okay, though. Here they are. So the guys who came to see me are Destinova, Cyberseer, Tears of Oblivion, and Josh. We came from Old Forge, New York, about 2.5 hours away from Queensbury. We had a blast, man. To meet you in person adds a whole new dimension to your coolness. Ooh, wow, check out my coolness. At any rate, I hope you enjoyed New York, and tell Sam I just had to hug him. He looked so lonely. Yeah, Sam's like that. You know, he looks like a lonely guy, but really, he's a raging tiger of passion. So don't worry about it. Sam's doing good. Moving on into the sort yourself out section, I want to try to get into the news here because I got some scary stories for you guys today. Dear Sean, I'm afraid all the time. Now, this is funny because I get a lot of news stories about this. Dear Sean, I'm afraid all the time. I feel as though the world is crumbling around me and no one seems to care. It's very bad, but I don't want to go on meds. What should I do? And this is from Raw Toast. Well, Raw, I got to tell you, man, I've gotten a lot of email like this where people are telling me that they are, in fact, afraid all the time. And realistically, is it, you know, so out of control to consider that maybe being afraid all the time is, not so crazy anymore? I mean, if everyone really is out to get you, are you actually paranoid? I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? It's hard to imagine a world more messed up than how we're actually going forwards. So, I mean, your email was a little bit vague because I don't know if you're physically afraid, like you could be getting beat up, or if you're a victim of physical abuse or what have you. And it's funny, you know, because there's not a lot of programs out there for male victims of physical abuse. It's always you hear about violence against women when, in fact, and don't get me wrong, violence against women is a horrible, horrible thing. But men are 10 times more likely to be a victim of violence than women are. And you don't hear much about that. You don't hear much about, you know, the males who are victims of violence. And they call it, you know, now, you know, it's a little bit more prevalent with bullying and things of that nature. But realistically, men were expected to just be able to suck it up, you know, like walk it off, princess. You know, you're supposed to be able to deal with these violent intensity. Okay, if you are, I'll address both issues. First of all, if you feel that you're a victim of violence, there are programs in place for you. Okay, you need to go in and say, listen, you know, I'm being harassed. Now, this is if you are truly being harassed or if you're afraid that you're going to be harassed. But I'm going to address if you are actually being harassed or bullied. There are programs in place for that. So you need to go at first. I would speak with either a school counselor. If you don't have a school counselor, if I don't even know if you're underage. I'm going to assume you're underage. If you're in school, go speak with a cool school counselor. If you don't get adequate results, you call the police. If you're an adult, you call the police, and they should be able to instruct you. I will advise you to not do anything violent. Don't purchase a gun. Don't drag a knife anywhere, because they just arrested some kid in the States for cutting up another kid with a knife. Don't do that. Don't pack knives. Everybody in the United States is getting more and more paranoid. And eventually, you know, they're probably going to ban hunting knives altogether because, you know, God knows we can't have people with knives. Who knows what that could lead to? Now, if you are, you're talking about going on meds, so I guess this could be a psychological condition. So if you are, in fact, afraid all the time and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What I want you to do is I want you to isolate yourself a little bit, so you have maybe a weekend or something like that, with a notepad and a piece of and a pen and a notepad, okay? And I want you to write out the worst case scenario. I want you to just exercise, you know, a little bit of fantasy and imagination, and tell me what you think the worst case scenario would be. How bad could it possibly be if everything went totally sideways? And I want you just to write it out. And after you're done writing it out, I think you'll see that it's a little bit wacko. I think you'll see that these fears that you're experiencing aren't really material fears. They're fears that are probably taking place of something else. Like you could be afraid of, for example, that you won't get a good job or that you won't be able to graduate school. And so there's other fears that are taking place. Fear only exists in the mind. Okay, that's it. First, that's why, you know, you can medicate for it, right? Because it only exists within the mind. So what I'm telling you to do here is I'm telling you to brain hack yourself. I want you to understand your fear. Once you understand what your fear is, you will be able to learn about it. Interesting thing about fear is that, let's say you're afraid of sharks. Like when I was a kid, I was afraid of sharks, okay? And when I asked my mom about it, I said, you know, Mom, I'm really afraid of sharks. She told me, because she's a rather clever lady, she said, if you learn about things that you're afraid of, you're not afraid of them anymore. So what I want you to do, buddy, is I want you to write down what it is that you're actually afraid of. What are the fears? Even if they're just random thoughts, put them all in bullet form. And then try to prioritize them. See which one you're the most afraid of and all the rest of it. And then that way it gives you something to focus on and learn about. Don't give in to your fear. Get angry at your fear. Get angry at the fact that you're afraid of this thing. If you're afraid of nuclear war, learn about nuclear war. There's ways to survive that shit and make yourself solid so that you don't have, you know, this overriding fear trying to destroy your world. And, you know, I'm not trying to belittle your fear either, because fear is a big thing. Fear is a huge thing. But again, it's all in the mind. So if you can overcome the fear that's within the mind, you can overcome fear, because there is no other place for fear to reside. Now, on past that, let's get into some scary, scary news. You want some fear? Well, yes, it only exists in the mind. But here's something that just lets you know. Now, why this isn't on the cover of CNN, I have no idea. Why this isn't, you know, totally being broadcast to the world, I have no clue. But the Homeland, my lead story today is the Homeland Security Dictator. Now check this out. On January 26, 2005, Representative Sensenbrenner introduced the Real ID Act of 2005, H.R. 418, in the name of Homeland Security. My God. Now you know this is going to be a good one. It includes a number of items, changing immigration laws and the use of driver's licenses, etc. You know, little things. But the most overlooked is Section 102 of this bill. It would empower, now listen very carefully here, it will empower the Secretary of Homeland Security to suspend any and all laws in an order to ensure the expeditious construction of a set of barriers and roads south of San Diego to keep illegal immigrants out. It would also prohibit any judicial review of Secretary of Homeland Security's decision to suspend the law. Okay, so the bill references, mentions barriers and roads near San Diego, it does not appear to be, technically speaking, limited to that area, but to any barriers or roads in the vicinity of the United States border. So that means that he can, on a whim, throw up a slice wire. What does this mean? What laws might the Homeland Security suspend? What would the Secretary of Homeland Security, what laws can he suspend? Because if he can just, you know, suspend any laws and throw up, you know, wire wherever he wants, you know, keep people out, blah, 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 essentially making, you know, the East German Wall there. Well, what other laws might the Secretary of Homeland Security suspend? This is a Secretary of Homeland Security. Okay. The first obvious sets of laws that would come under attack would be environmental and labor laws. On the environmental side, think Endangered Species Act. On the labor laws, think Davis-Bacon, prevailing wage laws, and the right to organize, collectively bargain. Also think whistleblowers laws. Homeland Security wouldn't want any of those pesky do-gooders blowing the whistle on corruption and in contact awards. But wait, would all of the suspensions only apply to physical on-location construction of the road barriers? No, there's no such limitation on this law. You can follow this right to suspend the laws anywhere someone might be claiming legal rights and slowing down the process. This is frightening. The manufacturers of equipment and materials would certainly fall under this provision, for example. The government workers dealing with any aspect of this construction in Washington or California, wherever, would also fall under this provision. A city council objecting to something about the project could fall under this provision. So it's like nobody has any say whatsoever to stand up against the security, the Secretary of Homeland Security. An incredible usurpation of the rule of law is taking place here. A cabinet secretary is given the right to suspend any and all laws. And guess what? The courts are prohibited from reviewing his decision. Perfect! So the secretary can abuse his authority all he wants. No review, no nothing, no trial, no way to answer this guy later. He can't be called in for war crimes, nothing. He can just do it on his whim. Welcome to the second term. Now, this is a quote, actually, from the Act. Quote, "The Secretary of Homeland Security shall have the authority to waive and shall waive all laws such secretary in such secretary's sole discretion." Okay? Sole discretion. So that means he can just, you know, waive those laws all in the interest of Homeland Security. You know, because... as we all know, right, all Mexicans are dedicated to destroying the United States. That's why they're all trying to come here to live a better life. You know, like, yeah, you know, it's, of course, we probably won't have to worry about so many immigrants coming to the United States because gradually as they begin to realize that, you know, what they think is a wonderfully free nation is not, in fact, a wonderfully free nation. What it is turning into a massive, rapid, religious right fascist state. And to you know, just bring about this, let's talk about legal legislation about how you dress. Okay? You can't dress like that in America. In Norfolk, Virginia, a legislator says the Droopy Drawers Bill, Droopy Drawers, I'm not making this up, may be his legacy. Well, aren't you proud of that? The Virginia House of Delegates has tentatively approved a bill to crack down on people who wear low-riding pants. Now, does that mean you get fined for low-cut pants? Freshman Norfolk delegate Algie Howell Jr. introduced the bill at the urging of constituents who are offended by exposed underwear. If you can believe this shit. Howell says that's why they're called undergarments. They're supposed to be worn under something else. Well, thanks for pointing that out there, Chavez. You know, why don't we just get rid of the whole bathing suit issue, too? As a matter of fact, I don't want to see any part of women, you know, because I'm offended by women because, you know, they're all sluts anyway. So let's just put them in burkas and we'll dress them up in beekeeper outfits like they do in Afghanistan. Whoa. There's nothing obscene about an undergarment. So what? So you can see some underwear. Big deal, dude. How about the slip? Does that mean an undergarment? If a woman's slip is showing, can she be, like, you know, charged and fined and something like that? Delegates approved a measure that would allow police to assess a $50 fine on anyone who exposes their below-waist underpants in a lewd or indecent manner. Well, that just leaves that open, wide open for interpretation, doesn't it? Howell said that since he introduced it last month, he's been deluged with calls and emails about the issue. Mostly positive. I call bullshit. And if you are deluged with mostly positive emails, let's see who's sending them. Could it be the religious right? Could it be these groups that are, you know, try to use email to appear bigger than they truly are? How about the vast majority of people who really don't give a flying shit? Okay, if you are listening right now, maybe you should drop a little email to this twit and let him know that we think he's a complete fuckstick, because there's no possible way people should be able to fine you legally because of how you're dressed, because they don't happen to like the fact that they can see one of your garments of clothing. This is nuts. Okay, it's not lewd or obscene. I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand that. You go to a fashion show. I was watching this fashion show on television, okay? And you've got these you know, anorexic women who I'm offended by their state, by the fact that these women have been so manipulated and so programmed that they look like Auschwitz death camp victims. You know, they're sticky at best. You know, they all got lucky legs, as in they're lucky they don't crack off and shove up their ass. They got no muscle on them whatsoever. They're all 911 girls. You know, you touch them just a little bit, and it's like, call 911. These chicks are brutal. Yet, you know, the fact that because they're wearing a $150,000 designer suit, which is totally see-through, and I can, like, see the whole package, you know, upstairs and down, no problem. And yet that's okay because, you know, it's high fashion. Bullshit, Jack. This is obviously a religious right measure. Howell told the Virginian pilot, this must be a paper, that he kept hearing from customers in his barber shop. He works in a barber shop. That something needed to be done about young people who wear their pants around their knees, exposing their underwear. Now, I've never seen anyone actually wear their pants around their knees. Furthermore, last thing I want is the barber of Virginia, okay, making laws. Okay, this is insane. When the House subcommittee took up the matter, this response was sympathetic yet skeptical because of legal issues. It's going to the House floor for a vote. Well, here's hoping that they shut this barber the fuck up, because this guy's obviously a complete pinhead. Now, getting past the pinhead into a slightly better idea, how about, now, here's a concept. Why don't we tax the rich? Oh, because they have money. Well, apparently, the Bush budget director is bragging about shifting tax burdens to the rich. Nothing's in paper yet. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. But apparently, the White House budget director, Josh Bolton, on Monday bragged to reporters how the nation's most wealthy will see an increase in the tax burden under Bush's new budget. I don't know if that's going to happen. If you look at the president's tax cuts as a totality, the income tax of those at the upper end of the spectrum are now paying a larger share of the income tax than they were before, Bolton explained. An example. The top 5% in income of this country, that's people making above $140,000 a year, without the president's tax cuts, that top 5% would be paying about less than 52% of our total income tax revenue. Wow. So you got 5% paying 52% of the total income tax revenue. I would want to see that on paper. I'd want to make sure that that's actually legit because, well, as we all know, rich people generally don't pay taxes. So I'd want to make sure that we do, in fact, have that. I mean, he's bragging. He's talking a lot. This is a great idea because the rich people, after all, can afford this shit. But I'd want to get a little bit more of that. After the president's tax cut, that group is paying more than 50% of our total tax revenue. So the notion that the president's tax cuts have somehow made the code less progressive is wrong. The president's tax cuts have made the tax code more progressive. Now, this is what he's talking about. But what I'd like to see is whether or not that's really legit. Let's get some people in there who can, some real good, you know, free-thinking bean counters to see what's really going on with that situation. You want to check some data like this, because that goes right against, you know, the Bush party line of big business and more big business. We get to go on now to your local RFID Insanity, where, of course, you know, I didn't see this one coming. You know, I knew they'd be doing it to the criminals, but I didn't think they'd start making it mandatory for the children to be using RFIDs. But when you think about it, this is brilliant. You know, you really got to hand it to these blood-sucking bastards. Parents in Northern California public school districts and civil liberties groups are urging a school district to terminate the mandatory use of radio frequency identification tags, the RFIDs, by students. Several civil liberties groups, including the ACLU of Northern California, Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, sent a letter today expressing alarm at the Brighton School District's use of mandatory ID badges that include an RFID device that tracks the students' movements. Isn't this great? The device transmits private information to a computer on campus whenever a student passes under one of the scanners. The ID badge also includes the student's name, photo, grade, school name, class year, and four-digit school ID number. Students are required to prominently display the badges by wearing them around their neck at all times. Now, some of the parents are really pissed at this, and, you know, can you blame them? Forcing my child to be tracked with an RFID device without consent or knowledge is complete invasion of our privacy, said Michael and Dawn Cantrell. Our seventh grader came home wearing an ID badge prominently displayed around her neck as if a predator warned... If a predator wanted to target my child, the mandatory ID card might has just made that task easier, which is true. If a predator did want to target the child, he can just, you know, because it's passive, it's not encrypted or anything, they can just pick that up. The Cantrells filed a formal complaint against the Brighton Elementary School Board in Sutter, California, on January 30th, after meeting with several school officials, who promptly, I can bank, told them to fuck off. The letter, dated February 7th, sent to the Brighton Board of Trustees and the civil liberties groups, urged the school board to recognize the serious safety and civil liberties implications and called the school board to terminate this ill-advised test immediately. Now, obviously, this is just a way to get kids used to the idea of being tracked. You know, well, I used to have this card when I was going to school. No big deal. It just, you know, keeps track of us. It's all for the safety. After all, we don't want to be thought of as terrorists. We are sending the letter today because the school board meeting is scheduled for tomorrow night, and we want to make sure the district reconsiders the issue, said Nicole Ozer, Technology and Civil Liberties Policies Director of the ACLU-NC. RFID technology is inappropriate for use in schools. The badges jeopardize safety and security of children by broadcasting identity and location information to anyone with a chip reader and subject students to demeaning tracking of their movements. The monitoring of children with RFID tags is comparable to the tracking of cattle, shipment pallets, or very dangerous criminals in high-security prisons. Compelling children to be constantly tracked with RFID trackable identity badges breaches their right to privacy and dignity as human beings. Strong words indeed. I mean, when you think about how many things breach our dignity as human beings, I mean, don't even get me going there. The fact that, you know, I'm forced to be met by Walmart greeters with that goddamn apron going, welcome to... Yeah, that's a pretty big breach of human dignity as well. Forcing children to wear badges around their necks, displaying such sensitive information as their name, picture, grade, and school, exposes them to potential discrimination, since the name of their school may disclose their religious beliefs or social class. Never even thought of that, said Cedric Lauren, policy counselor with EPIC. Well, you know, I mean, that makes sense, you know, because everyone looks down on, you know, some schools. Some schools have some reputation, other reputations. And how long before you think some snotty, you know, let's take this bullying. You know, you want to get some girl's phone number or something like that. You want to get all stalker about it. You know, how can this be not abused? Realistically, once this is in place, this can be totally abused. And unfortunately, it is true that pedophiles are becoming a little bit more technical savvy to fill their sated weird desires. You know, the internet has some pedophiles on it. They stay pretty low profile, though, because they have to. Because if the vast majority of those of us who are online find out where pedophiles are, they don't stay in existence very long because we shut them down. And that's the truth. Anybody knows that pedophiles don't advertise on the web. Okay, so if they're going to be hunting through the web to get there, these are sick, deranged, evil motherfuckers. Okay, we've got to, you know, and so that they have some technical savvy because they're running around in these weird, you know, low-end rooms and stuff like that, and there's already hackers hunting these guys. So we know that, unfortunately, there are some pedophiles out there that do have some technical knowledge. Now, it's not much of a stretch to see how they could use this to get some information. And if they walk up to a child who doesn't understand how RFID technology works, they get their child's name, find out the parent's name, walk up, hi, I'm sent by such and such and such and such. They know Mr. and Mrs. What's and What's. Why don't you come with me? Boom. You know, another child shows up on a milk carton. And nobody wants that. Come on now. You know, if you want to do this for the safety of the children, let's do it for the safety of the children. Okay, this isn't about rock and roll. This isn't about tipper stickers or any of that shit. I'm talking about real security for our kids. This is bunk, and it needs to be stopped immediately. Now, here's something else that I got in the news. Now, this is something that I could just see this being used by the RIAA and the MPAA and the RIAA. Now, check this out. How can this be abused by corporations? Watch this story. Bit rot has become a reality. A Spanish scientist has discovered a fungus which eats CDs, which would also probably then eat DVDs. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Now, how did this Spanish scientist happen to discover this? Oh, geologist Victor Cardenz said he just stumbled across the microscopic creature while visiting Belize. Yeah, he wasn't looking for it or nothing. He's not going to package that and sell that or nothing. The discovery came after friends complained that one of their CDs had developed an odd discoloration that lets parts of it virtually transparent. Incidentally, that's why you want to get yourself an old CD burner, because it burns more intensely and your media will last longer. But anyway, using an electron microscope, Cardenz and colleagues at the Madrid-based Superior Council for Scientific Research later observed that fungi had burrowed into the CD from the outer edge. Wow, so he wasn't just stumbling across it. He had a whole series of colleagues all hunting for something like this. Does this all sound a little bit weird to you? It had been devouring the thin aluminum reflecting layer and some of the data-storing polycarbonate resin. Cardenz said, if you look at the CD from the shiny side, in the places where the fungus has been, you can see all the way through to the painted surface on the other side. Ah, it completely destroys the aluminum and leaves nothing behind. Wow, if you act now, you can purchase the technology behind this fungus. Biologists at the council concluded that the fungus belonged to the human genus called Geotrichum, Geotrichum, but has never seen this particular species before. Could it be because it was been engineered by a bunch of dudes in Spain? They added that, fortunately for Europeans, the fungus only survives in the sultry weather conditions that prevail in Belize. So that doesn't mean it stays in Belize. It means it needs a warm, temperate climate. Very, very scary. And you know that people who want to crack down on illegal media, what a great way to dispose of it. Let's just infect a certain region or areas where we know that they have these stores that may sell pirate DVDs or CDs. We'll just infect them with a fungus and that'll, you know, rot their wares. Now, everyone knows that taxes and income tax is, of course, mostly illegal. Okay, these are considered to be voluntary. But when you try to stop paying them, everyone starts going to jail because, you know, after all, we're talking about extortion here. Well, it seems that some people are taking another viewpoint on this. No taxes means no war. As U.S. forces aggressively seek to pacify Iraq and Afghanistan, now they're talking about going into Iran and things are going to get nuclear, a growing number of Americans are quietly defying their income taxes in protest. Raw Story, where I got this thing, has learned leading the charge is the National War Tax Resistance Coordination Committee. The National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, which seeks to raise awareness about the process of resisting taxes to protest U.S. military expenditure. Members defying income taxes can face stiff penalties. While some are as small as the cancellation of cell phone service, the Internal Revenue Service has sometimes resorted to harsher sanctions, including seizing cars and auctioning homes. Yeah, you don't play nice. We're going to take everything you've ever had and everything you ever will have because we're the IRS. As many as 8,000 Americans resist some form of income tax, organizers say. They've garnished my salary a few times, says Robert Randall, a Christian pacifist and social worker in Georgia who refuses to pay any income taxes. One time they seized money out of our bank accounts. One time they did a seizure of our sale of our house. One time they did a seizure and sold their house. On Sunday, the group unveiled a peace tax return, which allows individuals to signal their protest of American war expenditures to the IRS. The return is modeled on one produced in Britain by groups who are lobbying to allow conscientious objectors to pay their taxes into a special fund not accessible by the military. Ho-ho-ho, what a great idea. Randall, who has been registered conscientious objector since he turned 18, objects to contributing to military spending as a matter of faith. What an interesting angle to play this, and it just might work. I'm a Christian pacifist, he says. My inability to participate in warfare came along as part of my growth and understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Well, that'll work. Use it. And one form of participating in war could be paying for it, he tells Raw Story. So it's simply part and parcel of not being able to kill people, which includes not paying for people to be killed. Well, you got to give it to him. The guy's got a point. I mean, if you don't want to be involved with war and you don't want to finance war, then you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be made to finance war. If you want your taxes to, say, go towards education, as a matter of fact, why don't we allow voting on what our tax dollars get spent on? I can bet that education will go through the roof. I bet you NASA wouldn't have any problems getting funding for their projects. If we could vote on what our tax dollars go towards, what a concept. My God, that'd be exciting. I'd feel really good about paying my taxes if I knew that, you know, it was actually helping fund NASA. If I could get, if all my money was going towards getting me off this rock, or perhaps educating my fellow man or my fellow woman, why not? What the hell? But we all know that our tax dollars are going to be sent towards building more bombs to kill people in foreign countries and pissing them off and thereby, you know, completely destroying our public relations with the world. This is, you know, where, because realistically, where else is the money going? You're paying for Donnie's SS Gestapo to be running around, you know, creating extra legal activities. That's what your taxes are going towards. It's financing the fascist state. So if you can stop paying your taxes and figure out a way to stop paying your taxes, to be a conscientious objector and start spending money on what you want, can you think of something more democratic than that? What a brilliantly democratic solution to this particular problem. Now, again, since we know that modern news media, okay, it's been, we've established, and actually this went to court, that it is not illegal, and if you call me on this one, if you don't believe this, check this out, call me on this, it is not illegal for the news to lie to you. That's right, the news can actually lie to you legally. They don't have to tell you the truth. They can deliberately mislead you, okay? They can do that. I'm not doing that. If I make a mistake in a news report, it's an honest mistake. And I'll stand up and say, yeah, I dropped the ball there. I fucked up. Not a big deal. But to deliberately lie to you, to manipulate public opinion, well, we're not news anymore. Now we're getting into the realm of programming and propaganda. But there's yet more evidence that we are being lied to again. More than 200 scientists, now that's a lot of scientists, employed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, say they have been directed to alter official findings to lessen protections for plants and animals. A survey released on Wednesday says, the survey of the agency's wildlife staff of 1,400 had a 30% response rate, so everybody else was scared shitless, and was conducted jointly by the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. A division of the Department of the Interior Fish and Wildlife Service is charged with determining which animals and plants should be placed on the endangered species list and designating areas where such species need to be protected, which, of course, you know, corporations don't want anything to do with that because the last thing they want is, you know, the spotted owl to set up shop in some region where they want to, you know, destroy all the trees and pave all the grass and pollute the water and kill everything in sight for the love of money. More than half of the biologists and other researchers who responded to the survey said they knew of cases in which commercial interests, including timber, grazing, development, and energy companies, had applied political pressure to reverse scientific conclusions deemed harmful to their business. Holy shit, that's harmful to my business. Change that. Bush administration officials, including Craig Manson, great name, assisted an assistant secretary of the Interior who oversees the Fish and Wildlife Services, have been critical of the 1973 Endangered Species Act, contending that its implementation has imposed hardships on developers and others while failing to restore healthy populations of wildlife. Oh, we don't need those laws. We don't need those laws that, you know, protect wildlife. We don't need any of that. Not required. Now, Britain is currently wigging out of the United States. We know this. We know that Britain is wigging out of the United States. Why is Britain wigging out of the United States? Because Britain, even Britain, okay, the big brother state of England, the country that has declared war on more nations than any other country in the history of the world, okay, England is now going, whoa, dude, we have environmental problems. U.S., you need to stop fucking around because we're raising the temperature of the planet 2 degrees a year. We got maybe 10 years before we get past that, you know, point of no return. So unless we get on board, you know, and actually stop the imminent destruction of the planet, we got like 10 years left. But, you know, is anyone listening? No, of course not. Instead, what they're doing is they're getting, you know, their scientists to lie in reports. And after that, what does it turn into? It turns into a media war. That's exactly what it turns into. A massive media war. To control what? To control who? To control the thoughts and ideas of you, the end product consumer. You betcha. They want to make sure that you don't worry a thing about, you know, the environment. No. You just want to buy this and buy that. Buy. It's fun to shop. Let's go shopping. And even now, you know, when I was in New York there, it seemed like you want to go, instead of having a vacation, which, you know, you would think of, what do you think of when you think vacation? Personally, I think like margaritas, I think beach, I think perhaps, you know, camping, wilderness, nature, I think relaxation, I think, you know, getting away from it all, that was the big one, you know. But now, shopping has become a vacation. How the hell did that happen? How the hell did shopping become a vacation? Shopping is not a vacation. Shopping is mass consumerism gone wild. You know, think about it. How much effort have you seen put towards conservation in the news media? Have you, as a matter of fact, when was the last time you saw any information about wildlife and conservation in the news media whatsoever within, like, say, the last 4 years? Have you seen any of it? Oh, sure, there's your average token story run by some, you know, tree hugger type. But in the mainstream media, no. It's either drugs, war, more drugs, more war. That's what they report on. They don't report on the actual destruction of the planet. Further than that, I mean, will someone please explain to me what the fuck is going on with the weather? You know what I mean? Like, this year has been so incredibly messed up. We got multiple hurricanes coming in. We got, you know, 4 storms converging on the center of the United States. We got mudslides happening all over the place. Even Mount St. Helens was starting to act up again. You know, for a while there, everyone was thinking, shit, Mount St. Helens is going to blow the fuck up. But it never did, so, you know, oh, well, whatever. They shut down the geyser park of Old Faithful. Oh, well, not a big deal. Don't worry. Cows turn themselves inside out all the time. Nothing to see here. Like, come on now. Come on now. Something's going on with the environment. Something's going on with the weather. Maybe good old Mother Earth has decided, you know what, enough's enough. I'm going to awaken, scratch myself, and wipe out this plague of humanity. People are worried about the planet. I'm not worried about the planet. The planet's going to be here long after we are all ground into little bloody pulpy dust. Okay? The planet will carry on. Whether or not there's anything alive on the planet is a totally different kettle of fish, but the planet will, in fact, carry on. So what we should be more concerned about is not the planet. We should be sort of worried about our sorry ass on the planet. You know? I mean, our culture is destroying the world. We are destroying the little blue ball. We need to stop doing that. And not, like, part of not doing that is at least being honest with the data you're releasing to the public. You know, and is this being talked about? Is this being talked about anywhere whatsoever? No. Now, we've all know about terrorism, right? And we all know that terrorism is the buzzword of, you know, the age. Everything's a terrorist. So when we think of a terrorist, you think of, you know, some guy with, you know, a ski mask on in the desert somewhere, you know, shooting soldiers. That's what we think of a terrorist, or some dude flying a plane into a building, or we think of, you know, dudes generally set on destroying the American way. But now, don't forget, we've got eco-terrorism. This is a great buzzword. Eco-terrorism, domestic terrorism in the form of eco-terrorism. Now, when you think of all, and of course we have cyber-terrorists, which, you know, I could be called a cyber-terrorist. Why not? What the hell? I'm standing back here being all, talking about all these ideas, you know, being all honest and expressing, you know, free speech and things like this, you know, things that Donnie and his little secret SS squad Gestapo type, you know, why, well, he's conducting his extra legal activities in the United States. This is exactly the kind of thing he wants to shut down. This is precisely what he's talking about, because, you know, terrorism is, well, whatever they want it to be. And what is our defense against, you know, these massive, tirading, you know, fascist fucks who are trying to lock away everyone who's got, you know, any guts to stand up and say anything? Well, it turns into a legal battle, doesn't it? Of course, we all go to court. But now, they've got the lawyers in court for just standing up. Now, they're sending an obvious message here. Check this out. Lawyers, beware. A veteran civil rights lawyer was convicted Thursday of crossing the line by smuggling messages of violence from one of her jailed clients, a radical Egyptian sheikh, to his terrorist disciples on the outside. The jury had deliberated 13 days over the past month before convicting Lynn Stewart, 65 years old, a firebrand left-wing activist known for representing radicals and revolutionaries in her 30 years on the New York legal scene. Stewart faces up to 20 years in prison on charges that include conspiracy, giving material support to terrorists, and defrauding the U.S. government. These are pretty heavy claims here. Minutes before the verdict was read, Stewart said she felt nervous. "I'm scared, worried," end quote. She said when she heard the pronouncement, Stewart began shaking her head and wiping her eyes. The courtroom was filled with her supporters who gasped. She will remain free on bail but must stay in New York until her July 15th sentencing. If I was you, lady, you're 65 years old. You've been in the game for, like, what, 30 years? You've been fighting for 30 years? Run. Run. Don't fuck around. Run. Get the hell out of New York. Gotta go. I'm sure that, you know, some of the people you've helped over the last 30 years can hide your ass. Get gone. You know, they've already said that you're never going to practice law again, even if you came up innocent. Okay, they're going to throw away the key, dude. You got to get out of there. You did your piece. Go. The trial focused attention on the line between zealous advocacy and criminal behavior by a lawyer. Some defense lawyers saw the case as a government warning to attorneys to tread carefully on terrorism cases. Now, in a case like this where we got, you know, a radical sheikh, that's one thing. But, I mean, let's just, you know, head further down the line. Let's head further down the line. Let's see where that's going to wind up. You know, is it going to happen with people who decide that they're going to chain themselves to trees? Is that now an act of eco-terrorism? You know, when you think back to Greenpeace. Okay, think back to Greenpeace and the Rainbow Warrior. Remember the Rainbow Warrior, that great big ship that Greenpeace used to have? That was before the French Special Forces came in there and scuttled it. Actually, the French government destroyed a civilian craft that was used for protesting, whaling, and things of that nature. Yeah, the French Special Forces went in there and sank it. If that's not terrorism, I don't know what is. So, if the Rainbow Warrior existed today, do you think it could exist? Do you think it's possible to have a ship that would sail the open sea and, you know, combat injustice? No, of course not. Of course not. Of course, we let Scientologists have the Sea Org, where they have, you know, a cruise ship loaded with all sorts of insanity that can go out into international waters and kill as many of their followers as they want in the name of some weird twisted psycho cult. You know, that's allowed, no problem. But you can't actually, you know, stand up for something, try to make a difference in the world, especially when the world is run by a bunch of fascist psychos only bent on, you know, making money. Come on now. The jury also convicted a U.S. postal worker, Ahmed Abul Sattar, for plotting to, quote, kill and kidnap persons in a foreign country, end quote, by publishing an edict urging the killing of Jews and of their supporters. Well, looks like this guy might be fucked. You know, if that's actually what he was doing, gotta say, yeah, you're a psycho. A third defendant, Arabic interpreter Mohammed Yousri, was convicted of providing material support to terrorists. Sattar could face life in prison, and Yousri up to 20 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that terrorism is a horrible, horrible thing. These psycho motherfuckers who strap on bombs on the chest, walk into the pizzeria, and dust a bunch of children, not cool. These people need to be stopped. They need to be shut down, and shut down hard, I might add. But when you see a story like this where they start putting lawyers on trial for what they do with their clients and stuff like this, maybe she deserves it. Maybe she deserves it. Maybe she's actually a psycho. I don't have all the facts. Okay? But when you have lawyers who think that, oh, this is a shot across the bow on the legal system. This is a way to let lawyers know that maybe you should be careful who you represent, you know? Oh, sure. You know, you can get the guys who represent Enron and stuff like that. I mean, when you think about actual damage done to the planet, to environment, to peoples, and things of that nature, there's nothing that comes close to corporations. I mean, Coca-Cola, we've already seen, is responsible for, you know, massive poisoning in India, for the destruction of crops. You have Nestle, who practically poisoned an entire generation in Africa by teaching the indigenous population of Africa that they should not breastfeed their children, instead feed them Nestle breast milk and baby formula. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And where's the prosecution for the war crimes committed by companies like, you know, Ralph Lauren for designing SS stuff? How about for IBM for catalog? How do you think they kept track of all the Jews they killed? That was all IBM's doing. How do you think they kept track of all of that? Well, that would all be IBM. Where's the prosecution against Bayer? You know, Bayer Aspirin, those guys? Yeah, they're the same sons of bitches who made Cyclon B. Or is it Zyklon B? Cyclon B? The gas that killed all the Jews. Okay, that's Bayer, you know, but nobody prosecutes that, because why? Because it's big business. Ah, well, you know, we'll just forgive and forget, but, you know, we'll hunt down the individual Nazis. I'm all for hunting down the individual Nazis. I think that's great, but I think everybody should be taken to task. I think Ford should be taken to task, because if you do the research, Ford was financing most of Hitler's stuff. That's why Hitler had a big, nice painting on his wall of the founder, Henry Ford. Why? Because he was giving them lots of money. Lots of money. Nobody likes the Jews. Kill them all off. Eugenics for everyone. This is what a massively mad capitalistic state leads towards, is towards fascism. You can't get away from that. You cannot get away from that. If you let capitalism run rampant and influence government, you're going to wind up with fascist state. Don't believe me? Open up the newspaper. What do we got? We got the capitalism in North America. What's it leading to? Well, you tell me. You tell me. Rumsfeld has already got his Gestapo. He's put it into play. He's got his extra legal activities, special forces report directly to him. I mean, with that kind of stuff running around, well, what's left, really? I mean, what is there that we haven't you know, brought to the table here? What's left to really be lost when the Secretary of Homeland Security can throw up slice wire at camps and suspend laws on a whim, you know, and you've got secret police that can kill people, and you've got people vanishing, you got lawyers being thrown in jail for doing their jobs. You know, it's a pretty dark state of affairs. And this is why, you know, the daily hack I gave out yesterday of how to disappear in the United States is a pretty handy one to get. So if, you know, these daily hacks, you know, I don't just take anything. I do give a good, solid look at what I'm putting out there on the daily hack. This information is very vital and can keep you alive. So please make sure you download and review the previous newsreel so you can get these daily hacks, or hit my live journal and get the daily hacks from there. Now, today's daily hack is the search for systems. The search systems free public records directory. This is a very, very cool item here. Welcome to the largest directory of links to free public records databases on the internet. Finding business information, corporate filings, property records, unclaimed property, professional licensing, offenders, inmates, criminal and civil court filings, and much more. This is all freely available. This information is very powerful if used properly. Click on the links below to browse the public record links by geographic location, or use the public record locator above to search for type of public record in a specific area. Get the link off of my live journal page. There's over 23,000 free searchable public records in the database. 23,000 searchable public record databases. That's not individual records. That's 23,000 23,206 databases, not just records. Databases, public record databases that this website will connect you to. Wow. Can you say stuff that you want to lay your hands on for $1,000, Alex? That's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back on Monday to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of the individuals who, when the great scorer comes to write against them, they were the ones who stood up in the age of tyranny. That would be Jesse, Anonymous, Jesse again, Grey Ghost, Robert, Four Elite, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, Weblife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Diremude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Anonymous, and Philip. Now, if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, these are the people who donated for the month of January. If you want to be listed in for when I read out the list for February, please go to rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Now, when you do send it in, make sure that you give me a pseudonym. Don't even use your real first name. I don't really like the fact that I'm reading out even people's real first names. Because if I'm going to wind up going to jail, I want to make sure that I'm lonely there, okay? I don't want a whole lot of the WOGs being locked down. So make sure that, you know, if you're going to support me, which, believe me, those of you who support me, like Mystique, who I met in New York, thank you so much. I don't have the words to thank you. So what I will do is just keep broadcasting. And as well, you know, if you do choose to support me and you want to do that, thank you, but make sure you keep yourself secure. I also like to thank the hard net runners who provide me with this information, like Transix, Sylvanus, Poli-Sci, Ricky Rocket, Wyandi, G-Man 1, Myzano, and Judas. And as well, we have one digital baptism where LL, and you know who you are, is now Smitten Kitten. Yes, the leadest hacker of all, Smitten Kitten. And if you don't even know who Smitten Kitten is, LL, and why I chose that name, then you haven't been listening to the show. But do a little search for Smitten Kitten, and I'm sure you'll appreciate the irony of that. And thanks to everyone else who sent me data if I haven't listed your name there because, for whatever reason, thank you very much for sending me that information and any links that you may come across. And if you come across any information you'd like to send to me, please email that to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to check out Velvet Acid Christ. Very, very cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff. They do a lot of really great tunes. I don't think they're functional anymore. I don't think they're around anymore. But, you know, if you can go back and get some of their albums, they're really great. So until Monday, that's what Server said. End of line.
We were watching TV. Watching TV. We were watching TV. Watching TV. Tiananmen Square, lost my baby there. My yellow rose and her bloodstained clothes. She was a short order pastry chef in a dim sun dive on the Yangtze Tideway. She had shiny hair, she was the daughter of an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose? My yellow rose and her bloodstained clothes. She had perfect breasts, she had high hopes. She had almond eyes, she had yellow thighs. She was a student of philosophy. Won't you grieve with me for my yellow rose? Shed a tear for her bloodstained clothes. She had shiny hair, she had perfect breasts. She had high hopes, she had almond eyes. She had yellow legs, she was the daughter of an engineer. So get out your pistols, get out your stones, get out your knives, cut them to the bone. They are the lackeys of the grocer's machine. They built the dark satanic mills that manufacture hell on earth. They bought the front row seats on Calvary. They are irrelevant to me.
We were watching TV.
Watching TV. We were watching TV. Watching TV. She wore a white bandana that said freedom now. She thought the Great Wall of China would come tumbling down. She was a student. Her father was an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose? My yellow rose and her bloodstained clothes. Her grandpa fought old Chiang Kai-shek, that no-good, low-down, dirty rat who used to order his troops to fire on the women and children. Imagine that. Imagine that. And in the spring of 48, Mao Zedong got quite irate, and he kicked that old dictator Chiang out of the state of China. Chiang Kai-shek came down in Formosa, and they owned the island of Quemoy. Shells ran across the China Sea, and they turned Formosa into a shoe factory called Taiwan. And she is different from Cro-Magnon Man. She's different from Anne Boleyn. She's different from the Rosenbergs and from the unknown Jew. She's different from the unknown Nicaraguan. Half superstar, half victim. She's a victor star, conceptual and known. She is different from the dodo and from the cancabono. She's different from the Aztec and from the Cherokee. She's everybody's sister. She's symbolic of a failure. She's the one in 15 million who can help us to be free. Because she died on TV.